And you know I don't watch that shit.
Why not? Too scared?
No, it's just, what's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
What are you waiting for, huh?
Because nobody admits anything they've done!
Okay, we're starting, okay. Eugene. We're doing it live. Okay. Okay. Live from New York. It's Saturday night. It's actually Tuesday.
We're not in New York. We are close, but I'm not.
I'm only like 10 miles away from New York City. Did we just do the intro? I feel like we just did the intro.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm leaving that in. Okay.
Well, we're just going to go on right into it then, Boils, Ghouls, and Non-Binary Creatures of the Darkness. The Scream Queens are here.
We're here. If you didn't know. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We are a mess. But, yeah, welcome to the Scream Queens. I'm Cece.
I am Jess.
What is up?
A lot, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm 10 miles away from New York City. You guys guessed the direction. I won't tell you. Cece is not in New York City, and I won't be near it soon. Woo! Not
all right. Yeah,
temporarily right now, but soon.
As soon as Beetlejuice on Broadway is announced, my ass is gonna have to go.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I don't think I can leave where I'm at in New Jersey until Beetlejuice opens on Broadway.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'd be like, Eugene, we have to board the dog for the night. This is a trip. We're going into the city.
Yes.
Mm-mm. How are you doing, Cece?
I'm hanging in there. My chest doesn't hurt anymore, but oh shit. I hit a little thing on my mic. Sorry.
That sounded like a bad guitar strum, and it was perfectly like it perfectly accentuated your sentence.
Oh my God. Like, so fucking random.
My chest doesn't hurt. Duh. I was like, ooh, are we at like a slam poetry reading? Ooh.
Oh my God. It's,
you just hear a little in the background. Oh my God. Yes.
I can't.
Oh my God. Oh my God. When I was like 18, my boyfriend at the time did that. He did like spoken word poetry. So Lord. I was always at those events on the weekends. I don't know if I'm ashamed or I'm not ashamed of that, or I'm not proud of that relationship, but I don't think I'm ashamed to say that. It's culture.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I guess. Moving on.
Yeah. So
we're not ready to unpack all of that.
Let's just jump into the news then. I'm going to start us off then real quick.
Okay.
Well, actually, you know what? I have two things, and one of them we're going to talk for a minute about. So why don't you go ahead with yours?
Oh, okay. Perfect. We can like break up all the HHN stuff we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's like an HHN sandwich.
Yep.
I'm crazy. What is wrong with me today, Cece? Oh, God, guys. So for Universal Halloween Horror Nights, whatever you want to call it, news, I actually have like a little bonus one at the end I'll add on after I'm done with this. So as you probably saw on Twitter or Facebook or wherever you get your HHN information from, team member auditions for HHN are open. But right now it looks like it's only available to former team members, current team members, maybe former scare actors. And not open to the general public right now. But the information that we have, it's a little screenshot of an email that somebody posted on Twitter. It says, Universal Orlando Halloween Horror Nights, now accepting team member submissions for Halloween Horror Nights. Interested team members must provide availability for all rehearsal dates during August and all Halloween Horror Nights performance dates. It then goes on to list all 41 nights. And it says, team member safety is a priority at Universal Orlando. Face coverings will be required to be worn in addition to costumed masks for rehearsal and performance dates. So guys, as of right now, as of March 30th, they are saying all actors will have masks on. But I feel like that's something we all kind of expected at this point. I'm kind of happy with that. I know there's like arguments. I know it's not crazy, but there's arguments going on. Every couple of days I see someone saying, what masks or tarps it takes away and all, and the argument, does it take away, yes or no? Personally for me, and I use the Beetlejuice house as an example, I was, you know, as face-to-face as you can be with tour guide Beetlejuice. That's, I feel like that's not a spoiler. He's in the house. And he's my favorite Beetlejuice of the any of the looks of the movie. And I got FaceTime with him, and it took me maybe 2 hours to realize he had a mask on from that interaction. And that's how themed these masks were. And we saw it in Tooth Fairy. The prosthetics, some of them even went over the masks. We're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, but if you have a problem with that, I mean, you got to think about the safety of people first. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to look past that a little bit. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, you just do. And it's like the new normal now. Honestly, people without masks to me look weird now.
Yeah.
It's very Ooh. Weird.
How uncomfortable do you get with like those clear masks?
Because I'm yeah.
And not like the mesh ones. Those are bullshit. And if you wear them, I hate you. but I mean, like the ones for like people who maybe are like hard of hearing, or for kids so they can see your smile and stuff like that. Yeah. I understand that there is a need for that, and for people with certain disabilities, like hard of hearing, it's good for lip reading, it's good for smiles. But I'm still like, is it safe? Are you sure this water's sanitary? Like, I'm always a little like, I don't know. And I know that like some people argue the cloth masks don't do much, but like I'm just going off what I see. So I'm like,
yeah, yeah, it's a little weird. I haven't seen it a lot, so I don't really know, but.
No.
I understand why certain people need them.
Oh, yeah. They're important. Like they're that. Needed. They're valid. Yeah. I just like, for me, I'm like, when I see someone without a face mask now or a clear one, I'm like, what? That's weird. I'm not used to seeing mouths.
Yeah, I know.
That's really what it is. I feel like I'm not used to seeing mouths yeah. more than the clear mask. That's how I should have worded it. Thanks, Cece.
Exactly.
You always get me where I need to be. but so there's more to this this little form that we see, or this email. This actually might have been from UO Team's website. I can't see that on the screenshot, but it could be. The submission deadline is April 11th for all of your audition submissions for scare actors. And I personally am loving what I'm seeing compared to last year's, but last year's was only 2-3 houses. So for this, it says all sizes and looks are needed.
Previous Woo!
Yeah, let's just, we'll stop right there. Yes. Woo! Yes. Thank you, Universal. I love you. You thank you. You heard us. You saw us. I'm not auditioning, but I am so happy that there are roles available for anyone and everyone this year who wants one.
Yes.
Will you get one? It depends, but there are roles available for all sizes, and it actually says that.
That is so exciting.
That makes me so happy. And if it wasn't 30, I probably would audition. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, if it didn't take away from me being able to go to the event, mm-hmm. I would. Because I've always wanted to scare act at least 1 year. Like,
yeah,
just put it in my, like, you know, what's it called? Bucket list or whatever.
Yeah, no, but, same.
But yeah, I just enjoy the event too much, I feel like. So
that's fair. And it's like you said, it's like a bucket list thing. I want to mm-hmm. scare act. I want to just say I did it. And just kind of be a part of the event, even though, you know, guests are a part of it. But on the other side, I like behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So, yeah, all sizes and looks are needed. Thank you, Universal. We love you, like I said. Previous experience not required. Please select your height range when submitting your profile for consideration. Select candidates may be invited to participate in a callback at a later date. Please ensure the following items are attached to your profile for submitting. So there is a headshot, a resume, a full-length photo, an audition video link. And for the video audition instructions, you begin by stating your first and last name, normal slate, in an audition, home venue, and current supervisor's name. So this is for team members only. Please state any roles you have previously performed at Halloween Horror Nights. If you have never performed in the event, please share your favorite Halloween costume. Fitness attire is recommended. Please record your video in front of a closed door or blank wall. They are also looking for Bigfoot and hybrid stilt walkers. For that, the previous stilt walking experience is required, and you cannot exceed 190 pounds. But that's just for the stilts. That's not being, you know, not accepting any body size. That's just for a certain role. Totally understand that. And select candidates may be invited also to participate in callbacks. So we have auditions. We know we're going to see stilt walkers. That was a given. We see them every year. But guys, auditions are happening. I know we saw on Twitter a bunch of our friends have submitted their auditions.
Yes.
I am so excited for you guys. And I know I already told a couple people I'm going to be dancing past your boo hole or dancing past you in the street. And I mean it. I mean it. And then after that, you know, you might get a little flirt call out. If Timmy and I go through the house, we're going to be like, hey, you know us. Like, come on. But I'm so excited to hear when everyone gets cast and see you guys at the event.
I'm excited.
Oh, it's happening. I'm sorry.
I know. Like every confirmation that we get as we get closer just really means it's locked in and it's happening this year. And that just makes me so happy.
They're like investing time into this. Not that they didn't last year, but last year it was kind of like, let's not do anything right now. Let's hold off. Mm-hmm. Wait and see. But auditions are happening. And I mean, after the 11th, they will probably open up for the general public. That's normally what happens. So if you guys are looking to audition, just wait your turn. Check and see either on the website for Universal Jobs, or I think you can even sign up for emails. But normally it's posted on the UO job site, like right when they post it for auditions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on the main website, but there is also a Universal Auditions website too or something. Yeah. But they might have it in both places. So
yeah, and when they open that, we will make sure to say it that week on the show. Maybe include the link if you guys are interested, because we want you guys to audition. We want to see you guys there.
Cultus, you better go audition, girl.
Yes, Cultus. I see you. I really just want to go to the event every night, or else I would audition.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, I'm tempted to do it just to do it to see what the fuck happens. But like, you know.
We'll see. I'm gonna wait it out. Maybe 31 will be my year. Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see.
I might do it just for the hell of it. You never know.
Go for it. I got so much going on. But my little 0.5 that I wanted to add at the end of this is, so not next week's episode, but the one after, I will have gone to Mardi Gras. I'm going, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, so my sister and I are going to make a day trip. We're waking up at like 6 a.m. Driving up and driving down in the same day, just because Mardi Gras ends that week. So I will be there, I believe, on the 8th. So I will give like a mini little review on the week after's episode.
Nice.
Just because I'm there to eat and look at all the things for Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
that's it. No rides. And I have an annual pass I've been paying for the past 4 months and haven't used, so might as well use it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And I have to downgrade it from a 3-park because I'm not going to Volcano Bay right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Mm-mm. Nope. But yeah, so that's all I have for my news. What about you, Cece?
All right, so I'll start with something that's quick first, and then we'll kind of go into the deeper thing that's coming up. So today, two things happened that are really exciting. Trick or Treat Studios released their Terrifier Art the Clown figure today for pre-order, and it is estimated to ship October 1st. So it's quite the pre-order here, quite a few months ahead. It is very expensive. I want it so bad, but I don't think I can justify the cost, but that's okay. It's very exciting, though. It is a 12-inch figure with 30 plus points of articulation, 4 interchangeable hands, and a hacksaw. It is beautiful. If you guys have seen the picture, it looks great. The costume is like actually made out of like a cloth material or polyester, I don't even know, silk something. And it's just, it looks incredible. And it's the first ever figure that's like officially something that, you know, Damian Leone has signed off with a company to do. So it's $129.99 plus shipping. If anybody's interested, it looks like they are still in stock for the pre-order right now. So just wanted to let you guys know that that showed up today. And then our second bit of news is something else that popped up today, which is the Spiral trailer.
Yes.
That I was talking about earlier. I finally got to watch it. What do you think about it?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. It looks interesting. For me, the most interesting part of it is like, so Chris, it's Chris Rock, right? I always, I'm so bad at actors' names. I know who he is, but like, Chris Rock is like playing the crazed cop trying to figure it out. And I feel like that's interesting because it's like, oh, the cops don't know if they can trust him because, you know, the other, you know, double-sided cop from the entire franchise.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting take on it, and like his father and all of that. But how does this tie in is my like big question.
Yeah. Well, watching it, you know, it's going to be probably obviously a new killer. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not going to be John Kramer. Obviously.
It sounds like a girl, who has morphed her voice because it's higher.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, people are complaining about the voice, but like, we got to remember it's new killers. Like, they're going to have a different voice.
We already played the whole, like, this is actually 10 years in the future. This was pre-recorded thing. So we can't do that again. So we had to do a new voice, guys. It's been 8 movies. The guy's dead.
Exactly. Like, I think it looks really good. I'm excited mm-hmm. to see Chris Rock in a more serious role.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it reminds me a lot of Seven almost, this one. It's a very dark. Obviously, they've all been dark and stuff like that, but it just reminds me kind of David Fincher's Seven, because I never really saw that as a kid. I just recently watched it. So it kind of reminds me of that, and it gives me that feel. It's also exciting to see Samuel L. Jackson in something else, because he's one of my favorite actors. So
I did gasp when I saw him. I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
It's like, so, I love this. We love this. 2 black leads in a horror movie? Oh my God.
Yes. It's actually produced by Chris Rock too. So
I did see that on the credits or in the preview. I was like, ooh, I don't think I've been this excited for a Saw movie in a while.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's looking like it's coming out May 14th. So I don't know if that'll be both in theaters and like on demand. Probably by then, I think so, because I think people are starting to get vaccinated and getting mm-hmm. back out. So I think that it'll probably be out in theaters.
Who is distributing it? Do we know? Like, do they have any ties to anyone with a streaming platform?
That I don't know. I think it's done by Lionsgate, but I don't know who they would be putting it out with. Usually on a VOD, it's usually Amazon. You got to pay for mm-hmm. it most times, but I know HBO is starting to pick up some movies, so we'll see.
Okay. I do like the name, though. Spiral. I think that's a really cool name, where it's still like, you know, one word title. You know that the spiral, it pertains to Jigsaw, and like, it's that symbol that we all know from it. So I think it's a really cool name for like a continuation of the franchise. Excuse me. Now I sound like I'm strumming a guitar. I don't know if you heard that. I'm sorry. Mine wasn't as perfect as yours, but it's okay. Oh my God. Can't believe it's the 9th movie, though. Can you believe that?
That's wild. I haven't even seen the last few of them, I don't think. I don't even remember where I left off, to be honest.
So I know when we first started recording The Scream Queens, I said my thing about Saw, where I've had this love-hate relationship with it. And as I, like, in literally since we've started the show till now, I've, like, grown to kind of become more desensitized to that whole fear I had of it. And like, I've watched a lot of behind the scenes and like documentaries on how they did the makeup and the effects and everything. And I really want to visit it for a ranking. And I know you do too.
Oh yeah. I would love to.
I feel like we should wait till Spiral comes out.
Yeah.
And then maybe later on in the year, maybe for Halloween or something.
That'd be cool.
Let me revisit all of them. Cause I think I watched up till 5, which I feel like is very deep into the franchise for me to be like, no, never mind. But I watched like 1 through 5. I'm not kidding. And then I watched the kill count on Jigsaw.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've seen Jigsaw. Yeah, there's just a few that I have not seen. So I definitely want to revisit it for sure.
Okay. Well, if you guys like Saw, I mean, get excited.
Yeah, that's coming.
I'm excited
eventually.
For this, though, this movie.
Me too. It looks great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the last thing that we want to do is our usual, our promo corner.
All right, guys, it is Jess. You know what time it is. It is time for our weekly promo corner. And this week, we are coming at you with another artist. And, you know, I'm always super excited about these, but Cece and I have actually been like following them and kind of creeping on their page and loving all their art for like a while now. So we had to include them in a promo corner. So this week, our promo corner focuses on Billy, and they are known as Slasher Villain on Twitter. So if you don't know who that is, definitely go check them out. They are a super cool artist who focuses mainly on HHN and horror. And I really love their style. It's kind of like twisted cartoon. I would definitely go check out their Twitter if you kind of want to see what their vibe is about. I personally love it. And I've been like kind of stalking their shop, and I have a cart ready, and I think I'm going to order something really soon. But definitely go check them out. They have a Redbubble store, and on there you can find really cool stickers, shirts, posters, and so many other things, and there's so many different designs. There's a really cool one of Chance. And then they're actually working on a project right now that got me so hype. And I know Cece, if she doesn't know about it, she's going to freak. They've been working on and starting back up an HHN tarot series that they are eventually going to turn into a full blown tarot deck. So definitely check them out. I'm not kidding, guys. Amazing work. Like I said, we've been kind of creeping for a while. If you want to check out their Redbubble, it is redbubble.com/people/OMercyMe. And it's just the letter O, Mercy Me, not O-H. And then their Twitter is @SlasherVillain. And again, that is Billy. And they do HHN and horror art. It's amazing, guys. They also wanted me to let you know that they will be selling at future Orlando conventions. Nothing 100% set in stone right now, but I do know Spooky Empire is having some events this year, so hopefully we'll get to see them there. So definitely check out Billy. That's @SlasherVillain on Twitter. I will also have everything linked below. And now back to the Scream Queens.
Okay, whenever you're ready. All right. Thank you, Jess, so much for that promo corner. And are we ready to get into today's episode?
I think
we haven't even told you
what we're doing. I like the mystery. They can read the title.
Yeah, exactly. We always say that like it's
some surprise. We're mysterious and spooky, you know.
Yep.
No, are you ready? I don't think you're ready for this jelly, Cece.
Oh, yeah. Really? It's, yeah. Am I ready, actually?
Yeah. You don't know Jack. I think I said that last time. But
I don't.
Jack's back. Jack's back. There we go.
Jack is back, guys.
Jack is back, and he is ready to fucking play.
Yep. And he doesn't care if you like it or not.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck. He knows more about American Girl dolls than you do, genius.
Oh my god, what the fuck is that?
That's a vine.
Oh, I was like, what's that from?
It's that little girl, she's got like her hands on her hips, and she's like, I think I know more about American Girl dolls than you do, genius.
I love that.
She's so sassy, and it's me. No, it's not me. Oh my god. I know nothing. I know how to hit the Google. No.
Yeah.
Excuse All right. me. I had to take a sip of my beverage. So I guess we should finally say it. This week, we are coming back at you with another Halloween Horror Nights history segment. And this one, I feel like, so CFC and I had talked about it. We started our icon series. Next episode, I believe, is dropping in, 2 weeks, CC? I'm going to spoil that right now. Icon history, next episode, 2 weeks. Won't tell you which ones, but if we're going in chronological order, you can do the math. So with the icon series, we also wanted to go along with that. And because HHN 30 is rumored to have the Icon's Captured House and the Scary Ohio House, we wanted to make sure that you guys, if you didn't know about these houses, have all the history prepared to walk into these houses and go, hey, that's from HR Blood and Guts. Hey, that's from Scream House, if you want to. I just find it's a little more fun when you can like research it and walk in and be like, oh my God, look at that, look at that. So right. We're continuing it by doing Icon House history to go along with kind of whatever icon we just covered. So we covered Jack in our last history episode. So this episode, we are covering the first three Halloween Horror Nights houses that Jack either appeared in or revolved around his story. I say that because you will see in a second why I'm not saying Jack's houses. But we picked three because one of them, I could not get a lot of info on, I'm not going to lie. So I wanted to add in a third one that I found so much info on. It's like three pages alone. I wanted to add that third one in because it's really important to Jack's story. And I feel like it kind of turned everything up to like 11 for sure. HHN. So yeah, we're going to go through the three houses that Jack first appeared in or revolved around his story. And I'll say that right now. It is the Fear House, Horror Nights Nightmares, which, I mean, if you know HN Nightmares, that might sound a little familiar to you.
Yes.
And lastly, Psycho Scarapy, Maximum Madness. Yes. Maximum Madness is the third one we're going to cover today. Okay. So, are you ready for me to talk your ear off, Cece?
Yes, like always.
Oh, I love it though. I feel like a teacher. I feel like I have a PowerPoint, even though you can't see it. I have it. a little laser pointer.
Oh my God, yes.
I feel like I'd be like Miss Frizzle if I could. God. Can you imagine like a Miss Frizzle HHN? I just like I walk in and like I have a dress made out of all of the like house shirts from the last 10 years. I don't know where I got it, but I made it. And I'm just like, all right, kids, we're going back to Roman times, to gladiators. We're going to research the nightingales tonight.
Oh my Lord. That would be hilarious.
Just like fucked up. Like she's got to be on something. I feel like that's going to be me at HHN this year with all of our friends.
Yeah, probably.
I need like an umbrella or something to like lead the way. I'm like, follow me, children. We're going to the Beetlejuice.
You might as well work for the Rip Tour.
Can I tell you that that is the one way I would actually consider being a team member during the event?
Yeah.
That is my dream job, is to do unmasking and RIP tours all night.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So
when I move back to Orlando, I mean, maybe I got to apply for VIP tours.
Do it.
And then I can't have fun hair.
That's true.
Okay, we're getting past the point. Sorry.
Yeah, anyway.
I did the theme park thing. We'll see. Okay, so let's start this out. We're going back, Cece. We're going back to the year 2000.
Ooh.
I was 6. I had to say it. That's how we should go from now on. How old was Jess when this house happened?
Oh my God.
excuse me. So this is the year 2000, and the house this year was the Fear House. Now, we all remember back from our Icons episode. If you haven't listened to it, I would really maybe pause this episode, go back to that one, and then come back to here, because you might want to know Jack's backstory for some of these.
Yeah.
I feel like it really helps you kind of understand what's going on in the houses, obviously. So this is the first year that Jack was the main icon for the event. This was also the first year that Universal created their own original icon. So alongside of that, they wanted to come up with a house to go with that icon. So they came up with the Fear House. This was located in Nazerman's, which is that area over by Sting Alley. The house was actually like you entered in Sting Alley and it was out there.
Okay.
So don't use that location anymore. But I believe that plot was literally poured for HHN. It's either that one or the tent one in the back. But I'm 99% sure Nazerman's was poured first. Literally for HHN. Huh. Okay. So the description that they released along with the house announcement was, try and make your way through a carnival where mirrored hallways, darkened corridors, and hideous creatures make your escape unlikely. I feel like that doesn't tell you anything. I'm not going to lie. I was like, that's all we got? And it was 2000. They probably, I mean, we know the backstories are like deeply rooted, but like, this was their first icon. They didn't know what they were starting. They did not know the avalanche they created by throwing that snowball.
Right.
Which I feel like is like the best metaphor I can give you for that. So that's our description. Those are like our basic kind of, you know, stats that we list off in the beginning. Starting with the history / backstory of the house. So instead of Jack being the focus of the house, the story was actually focused on his employer turned nemesis, Dr. Oddfellow, which we also talked about in that episode. Mm-hmm. Jack kind of learned his ways from Oddfellow. Jack was already kind of demented. And then, you know, having this employer, I don't want to say hero, but somebody that Jack looked up to while he worked for Oddfellow, kind of taught him how to do things, I guess, more of a right way. And not really get caught, because it took him 13 bodies, 13 kids missing before they caught up to him.
Yep.
So this did not focus on Jack at all, which is kind of funny. And that's why I wanted to include three different houses. So this is the house that only has to do with Jack's backstory. It does not have to do with Jack. And as far as I can find in research, I can't confirm or deny if Jack was even in the house.
Okay.
I can't find a walkthrough because it's 21 years ago. The descriptions online are very, very short, very quick. A lot of people don't really remember the house. And if they do, it hasn't been documented online. So if you have gone through this and you can tell me if Jack was in it or not, please do. As always, I always want more information if I don't have it. But yeah, so Jack, I don't know if he was in the house. I do know that the facade to this house looked a little bit like Jack. So Okay. I will say that. I don't know if you saw that picture online, Cece, but it's a clown's mouth. So I'll describe the facade. It is literally a funhouse, so an old funhouse. And they it's either blood or spray paint over the word fun, and it says fear. So the fear house. It's super cool, and it's a clown's mouth that you walk through. And the clown kind of looks like Jack. A little bit awesome. To me. It's got like green and yellow around the eyes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's Jack. So
sure, let's go with it.
It's Jack. It's Jack the clown. So on top of that really short description we got, eventually later on, more was released about the event because of the original icon. They were kind of pushing it a little hard, which is not, there's nothing wrong with that. I know that there were like billboards. I didn't say it last episode and I wanted to, but Jack the clown was actually sent out to downtown Orlando. By Lake Eola in full makeup and costume, and he just went out and terrorized downtown.
Oh my god.
In like the middle of summer.
That is awesome.
And there is a picture of him in the swan boats in the middle of Lake Eola.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I will find it and send it to you.
Okay.
Because it's amazing.
I love that.
So eventually they released this longer description. So I'm going to read that to you, and I think it's going to help us kind of understand the house a little more than that sentence they gave us above. Sure. So welcome to Dr. Rich Oddfellow's Carnival of Oddities. Looking for a good scare or just a glimpse into the world of the weird? There's nothing subtle about Dr. Oddfellow's Carnival. Join the dark doctor in his fun house of thrills and chills. Only the facade of this house is darker and more ominous than expected. Expect the unexpected as you move through the mirrored hallways and through the darkened corridors, trying to find a way out. Only the joke is on you. Dr. Oddfellow needs more exhibits for his traveling tour of torture. You move through the world of reflection, tricked at every opportunity. Low-lying fog prevents you from seeing the floor, and lighting effects create an unnatural glow. Scare actors, images appear in reflections, then suddenly appear in your face. Utilizing illusion techniques combined with hideously deformed masked creatures, Dr. Oddfellow gives you an unguided tour of terror through this nightmarish reflective world. Your challenge, to find a way out.
Oh my god.
I'm not kidding. That's the last sentence.
That's hilarious.
I didn't rip off Haunted Mansion, okay?
You just said it like it.
It was written, so that it shall so be funny. Said.
I love that.
So that, I feel like that is a badass fucking description of a house. It's a lot of words. Yeah. My mouth, like, it hurts. It's like, I was running out of
that
air.
Sounds awesome.
Whew. Okay. Let me catch my breath. So that is all we have for the backstory and the history. The actual house experience, I have a little bit on this. So, like I said, the entrance was right next to Sting Alley. And the facade was a very large wooden door that says Thrill the Fear House. And like I said, it was the word fun house, but fun was covered in blood and said fear. And then you would enter into that door into a holding room where the lights would then go out. Yeah, they would never do this now. Nope. Conga lines all day. So after the lights go out, I'm just going to say, I find a lot of this information on forums, on HHN Wiki, which is a site that can be edited. I don't know if this is true. I'm going to say it, and it sounds a little ridiculous. I'm not going to lie. After the lights would go out, cat paws would scratch your feet.
What the hell?
That's why I prefaced that sentence with what I said. Cece's probably like, I was expecting something terrible, and I'm over here like, cats would knead at your ankles.
I don't know how
I saw that was written in like a couple of places.
That's interesting.
So I think I care about this more than the last question I asked. If you went through this house and you experienced the cat paws, I need to know for science. So please reach out. That's at Beetlejess or at ScreamQueens85 on Twitter. Please.
Is this real?
Is this real life? I don't know. So I'm just going to move on from that sentence. HHN, man. Hey, yep. They had feather dusters in, what was it called? Oh, my God. The interactive VR one. And from 26. Oh, my fucking God. The repository. They had feather dusters that they would, like, dust you with while you had the VR on.
What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, hey. Do you think that these were – now? See, now I've moved past ridiculous and I'm thinking about logistics. Do you think that these were little stuffed cat paws on sticks? Or do you think that these were human hands with toe beans?
What?
See. What has our show become?
I don't know how this would how the hell does this work? Do they get real cats in? No, I doubt that, but
I mean this is episode 40. What is
it, like people on the ground with like those mittens that you can get from Disney or whatever?
I'm imagining, you know, those tiny hands that like Katya uses.
Oh yeah.
I'm imagining those, but tiny cat paws for your fingers.
Oh my God.
Like a rabbit's foot and the tiny hand had a baby.
That is terrifying.
And it just slides on your finger. So I'm going to cry. This is so bad. It's so... Oh, my God. And then you just poke you. Oh, my God.
Oh, so cursed. What in the world?
Please tell me if you've been through that house. I'm legitimately crying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I need to contain myself. Okay.
Whew. Oh my Lord.
I think we found the name of the episode.
What? Cat paws?
Cat paws and toe beans. I don't know. That's a working title. Wade just walked by and he's looking at me like, are you okay?
Oh my God.
Okay, moving anyway. On from the cats. What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
Why are there cats? Okay. There's not much info on the actual house, like I said. Okay. Back to the house. We're in business mode. Okay. There isn't too much info. All I really got from some posts and stuff like that is the entire house was very disorienting and featured a lot of clowns. As one would expect, I feel like. Jack the Clown is the event icon this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's your fault if you weren't expecting clowns in the fucking fun house.
That's true.
There were obviously a lot of mirrors as well, like halls of mirrors, all of that shit. It's a fun house. We know what fun houses are. The scare actors were Oddfellow, of course, and all of his minion clowns like various weapons and whatnot. But not, like I said, there's no Jack reported on anything I found. He 100% could be in the house. Again, none of this is my knowledge. I find all of this. I compile it into what I can from like 10 different sources. And here we go. There's not much. There's really not much. Even like people have gone to it, like catacombs. I believe Matt went through this house, or maybe he didn't start going until I don't remember. But they didn't say much either. There wasn't much to be said about this house on any podcasts either. So many of Oddfellow's torture mechanisms were featured though, so that's super fun. Ooh. I don't have, again, any descriptions of them, but we know Oddfellow was a really fucked up guy. He did a lot of fucked up things, probably killed a lot of people. And we know he killed Jack. So, yeah. And he obviously kills people to get them in his funhouse. So that's kind of what you're escaping. The coolest thing I found, though, was that one room featured a clown swinging on a star from the ceiling.
What the heck?
Yeah, there's like actual like concept drawings of this I'll send to you.
That's interesting.
And we can maybe post it. But it is super cool. I didn't see any actual pictures of the actor or if it was a mannequin or anything. But I saw the mock-up of it. Super cool.
That's awesome.
Another room featured a bunch of Jack in the Boxes. and children's whispers being played as you went through. So maybe if any of the rooms had Jack, this would probably be the one. There was also a large strong man featured. There's also mock-up artwork for that as well. As well as a scare actor dressed in a costume resembling car wash like strips. Like the little washing spinny thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, okay.
And he would blend in because there were strips hanging from the ceiling. So he would like hide in the strips and like jump out for like a really good scare.
Okay.
I love camouflage scares like that. So I always want to call them out when I can find them. There was a mirror room, walls that were like strangely painted, weird colors, a room that was completely silver. And all this house really showed us was Oddfellow and his lackeys and kind of where Jack learned some of Jack's tricks. So I believe that's all. That's all I got on the Fear House. There was not a lot, like I said. So we know it's a fun house. We know that it was Oddfellow. We got to see Jack's co-workers. I guess we could look at it that way. his comrades. Buddios. I don't know. So moving on from there, we did not have Jack in a house again until 2004. So in 2004, we had the house Horror Nights Nightmares. Horror Nights Nightmares, I think, is such an interesting house because it's based around a concept that a lot of fans have been kind of begging for, more or less. Before we get into that, this is year is 2004. Like I said, the location is Soundstage 44. And the description: come face to face with your worst Halloween horror nightmares. The director, the caretaker, Eddie, and Jack are all waiting to take you on a little stroll down memory lane. Spend a little quality time behind the scenes with your favorite icons of Halloween Horror Nights past. They're waiting for you on the very sets that made them infamous. Up close, and this time, it's personal.
Ooh.
I know. Dude, if they announced this now, I would be hype.
Yeah, exactly.
So this one, I feel like you're really going to like this. I don't know if you know anything about this house, but the story and the backstory of this is that it takes place on the set of a movie based on Halloween Horror Nights past.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. They got to do this again or something.
I know. So it's so interesting to me because it's like everyone's begged for an HHN movie forever, I feel like. Or something around the lore or the event, just something. Right. And they did a house based on it. But from what I've seen is like after you get into the house, it kind of loses the aspect of the movie. There's no cameras or like there's not like a crew or anything there. Okay. You're more or less transported into the movie. So, yeah. Okay. So that's cool, but I feel like it would have been cool if they also took it from, like, a production side of it. Because the backstory is completely production side. But once you're in the house, it's – I'll explain it in a second. But it's kind of like you're in the movie, but you're not. But there's no – from what I've seen in the pictures, because there's a lot of pictures of this one that I could find. There was no, like, lighting rigs or camera rigs or production crew or this or that or whatever, which I feel like would have really helped make this house just, like, even a little bit more – little more it would have turned it up to 11. That's what I'll just keep saying today. So like I said, this took place on the set of a movie based on Halloween Horror Nights past, and the movie is called Horror Nights Nightmares. It's set to be shot at Universal Orlando in Soundstage 44, which is also where the house takes place. The movie was being made in a reality where all of these icons were real people. They weren't made up original ideas for Universal. Jack was a real person. So this is just, it's a reality, quote unquote. While shooting, the set and security were extremely cautious. All exits were monitored for the safety of the public so the icons could not exit and wreak havoc on the world. And then on the 13th day of shooting at 6 p.m., there was a casting call. So come up, show up, try to be in this movie. We need extras. We need actors. Four scenes were known to be shot on that day. So on that day at 8 p.m., casting call was at 6. This is at 8 p.m. Scene 360 PT 72. There's so much information on this house. Y'all are about to get a lot. An interior set of a movie theater featuring the director with props like a director's chair, an electrical radio, not a battery radio. That's important. A dolly track, an assistant camera, and a diode timer. So those are actually some movie sets, so I'm or movie props and stuff like that. So I'm a little incorrect on that. I'm sorry. I just realized that. But not all of the icons I remember have stuff like that. I feel like the director just has it because he's the director.
Right.
But We'll get there. So the set was closed and featured only the essential crew. A production director was not needed, seeing as the director was there.
Oh.
Ah. So the director was the director of this scene. And probably not. They didn't want to make him upset. So it was probably the best way to go. Crew members were advised to never look the director in the eyes and to not interfere with the scene under any circumstances. There would also be a note suggesting that the director might ask the crew to join the scene and that crew members were to contact the production manager and remain calm if this situation arose. During that filming at 8 p.m., two crew members went missing.
Oh.
We're going to move forward to 9 p.m. This is scene 425A, and this was shot in an exterior set of a photo booth. The scene was to feature Jack the Clown and had props like noisemakers, blades hidden in sleeves, flowers, acid-spitting flowers, and buckets of acid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Rats and hissing roaches were present from the Fear Factor stage. that's what I'm assuming. The set was also closed, and the crew was warned that special effect action props were present and to not touch any of it. And if the urge was to arise, leave immediately. Ooh. If you feel like you need to touch one of these props, get the fuck out. Now, as a theater kid, I just want to say, this is something that I think all theaters should start doing. If you feel the urge to touch the prop, get the fuck out. If you're theater kid, you'll understand. It's such a big thing in theater. You never touch another person's prop. And in high school theater and community theater, kids just, they see like a prop gun. They want to touch the prop gun. So I feel like if you have the urge to touch the prop, get the fuck out. That is my new rule.
Yeah, that's fair.
They knew what they were doing over here. they were also told that if they saw an open box or heard maniacal laughing, they should contact the production manager and remain calm.
My God.
Not so get the fuck out if you want to touch the prop, but if you hear the maniacal laughing, just stay. Sounds like working in the United States. Sorry, too far?
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Too close? Does it hurt? It hurts a little bit. Okay. So during all this, they had effects issues while shooting, and they called for a dinner break at 9:30. So I guess they shot some stuff, didn't get everything done, called for dinner. So after 9:30, now we move forward to 10 p.m., this is scene 65B, and this is shot in an interior set of a morgue. Y'all know where I'm going with this one. This scene featured the usher. No, this scene, he wasn't even an icon yet. This scene featured the caretaker and had props like a medical bag, like a doctor's bag, assistant bone cutters, various surgical instruments, and files. There was also a blackout special effect during the scene. And this set was considered very closed. I don't know how one is more closed than the other, but that was emphasized. And the crew was advised to leave any sharp objects with the production assistant. The caretaker demanded absolute silence during the scene, and crew members feeling sick were advised to visit first aid and remain calm. During this time, the two missing crew members were found, and the production manager was contacted. So they were found. I don't know how they were found.
Oh, God.
I have a feeling they might have been part of the caretaker's experiment.
Yeah.
and that's maybe why if you're feeling sick, go see the production assistant.
Probably.
So Universal was making a movie and were they knowingly sending people to get murdered? Because remember, there was a casting call. So is the casting call for victims or for actors? I have so many questions, but first we'll talk about the cat paws.
Oh my God.
If I ever get an interview with anyone in creative from back then, tell me about the cat paws. Oh my God. Okay. So back to cat paws. God, I don't even like cats. Okay. Fourth and final scene is at 11 p.m. This is scene 413. This scene featured Eddie Schmidt and used props such as a chainsaw. Come on. Essential blades, oil, circular saw, and a visqueen. I had to Google this because I had no idea what the fuck that was. Google says it's just a tarp. Oh, okay.
Like a drop cloth, like Dexter.
Yeah.
I was like, I was expecting this to be like a torture device. I'm not going to lie. And I was like, what is this? And it was like plastic sheeting.
Wow.
I was okay. Like, you fuckers.
Fancy asses.
You motherfuckers. So yeah, this queen, this quine, that's all I'm going to call it now. Better hope there's one at 31 or 30. I'm sorry. A 30. A 2021. I'm going to walk in the house and be like, Cece, it's a visquine. My ass is not going to fucking remember that from all the sugary ass drinks I'm going to drink that night.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. So this one. So like I said, visquine, fancy word for drop cloth, plastic tarp, whatever. It might be a different fabric material, but Google told me that's what it meant. Mechanical effect like a jack-in-the-box. There were water hookups to a bathtub. Smoke and rain were also used in the scene. Eddie got the whole fucking thing. He got the whole shebang.
Wow.
Where was that in 2001?
Damn.
Obviously, that was a joke. Excuse me. Any members of the crew that were left after the last three scenes were advised to bandage any injuries. So anyone that was left.
What the fuck?
They've obviously lost a couple of people on the way. Because it says any crew that is left.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so apparently you had to bandage any injuries because Eddie's sense of smell would lead him to any open wound.
Ew. I don't like that. Is he an animal?
I know that they've always said Eddie was supposed to have very, like, animalistic tendencies almost.
That makes sense then.
Okay. I don't even know if he was supposed to talk.
Ah.
Okay. Originally, I think that's what the whole like comedy and tragedy of Eddie and Jack is. So I don't know. I know that there was a whole treatment written up for how 2001's opening ceremonies was going to go. Mm-hmm. And it was Eddie cutting off Jack's head with a chainsaw.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Him like dropping it in like a box or something. So I don't know.
Huh.
But I know the Jack head was supposed to keep talking, like an animatronic head.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe one day. I need Eddie and Chance to team up and just kick Jack's ass this year because, you know, he left Chance.
Right?
You know what? I don't mean to go on a tangent right now. I'm trying not to make this episode super long. Can we talk about that for a second? Eddie might be harboring some feelings that Jack left him at Shady Brook too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we at least like tap into that theory for a second? I want to see, I don't think it's going to happen this year. I want to see Eddie and Chance team up, try to kill Jack because they both got left at Shady Brook by him.
Let's do it.
I don't even know if Eddie actually got left there. That's just, I believe. We'll find out soon. Moving on. Crew was advised then to run like hell if they are targeted as prey.
Okay.
That's what they were told.
Things escalated quickly.
So during that scene, the set was locked down, not very closed like the caretaker, but it was locked down so that nobody could enter. I don't know, man. However, even though everything was locked, do you know what happened right while they were filming Eddie's scene?
Uh-oh.
A VIP tour group came into the soundstage.
Oh my God.
And that caused absolute chaos. Shit hit the fan. Everything's over. From what I read, mass murders. The icons were trying to kill everyone, and there was only one survivor.
Huh.
Is what I read in the backstory. And what happens to this one survivor? Well, they are so traumatized from what they saw and what they went through, because they were also tortured, that they get admitted to Shady Brook.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Full circle.
Full circle. And the only reason we know this is because the records of that patient was kept in a box in one of the rooms in the asylum. And we only know this because the website for this year, it was one of the first times they did like a super themed website. Uh-huh. It included the box. And inside the box had the casting call sheet. For this person, for the survivor, and everything that happened, and also some props in there.
Hmm.
So you could see all of this online. And so the website included the patient records where visitors could see the contents of the box, which included the casting call sheet detailing the story we just told. There was also a jack-in-the-box, chainsaw oil, a medical bag, and locket, and film reels with the titles Jester and Electrocution. Ooh. When you clicked onto each item, the sound clip that played was related to the icon related to the item.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they also, in that box was included a Universal Studios lanyard, a VIP pass to HHN from 1998 to 2003, a dirty red rag, and the camera log for the film, a bottle, and a card for the production, and the Point of Evil symbol appeared on the card. And when you clicked that, it would take you back to the main page. The Point of Evil was a scare zone that year at Port of Evil. This event was at IOA.
Okay.
So one of the years that was at IOA. So that's what that was. It just kind of tied you back to the rest of the event.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
That was only our backstory. So now that we learned all of that, we learned about the VIP tour. Guests entering this house, you're actually part of the VIP tour, is the story of the house. Yeah. That's cool. So, and that's my only complaint is, like, if there weren't, I just wish that everything looked more like sets in the house.
Yeah.
There weren't a ton of pictures, but from what I saw, there wasn't really anything that was like, this is a set, like a movie set. This is the set. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just the perspective the pictures were in. But I feel like that little, like, extra bit would, like, mm-hmm. again, turn it up to 11 or whatever we're going to say.
Oh, yeah.
So we assume the role of the VIP guest, the queue and the facade. So the queue would enter next to Soundstage 44 where the house was at, which is near the lagoon. Next to the entrance of the house, a large screen was erected and it was showing scenes from the Art of the Scare documentary, you know, one of my favorite things. what started my love of the caretaker and of HHN, as well as commercials for Jack, Eddie, the caretaker, and the director. So just kind of getting you ready, just like the cue videos do, what you're about to experience. Here's a little backstory. The cue would wrap around the soundstage and various TVs would play interviews with the cast and crew of HHN as well. We're used to all of this in the cues now.
Mm-hmm.
After you enter the soundstage, you would be greeted with a plain carpeted hallway, which had on the side showcasing HHN memorabilia, including posters and concept art for the event. You know, we've seen this. I would call this like a legacy house, a history house. It's not anything like, how do I word this? It's scenes from the icon. So that is iconic, but it's not taking from past houses. I mean, you could argue that it's taking from, you know, Scream House and whatever, but really Jack didn't have a house yet at this point. Eddie had never really had a house. He had a house that he was written out of pretty much. Director had, and the caretaker did. So only half of them had houses at this point. So they only could pull from so much.
Right. So
now we enter the house. The first icon we see, we're actually going to go in the order of the way that everything was filmed that night.
Mm-hmm.
So starting out with the director. The plain hallway leads us into a very dark movie theater. And we hear the song, You Oughta Be in Pictures, playing in the background. Now we see fallen chairs and parts of the theater ceiling had also collapsed right in the center of the room. So this room used that really effective technique that I feel like people either love it or hate it, where it's a room and there's something in the center and you're walking kind of circularly around the room and the scares kind of come from the outside.
Okay.
Which on the website I pulled this from, somebody said that it was overused, that kind of technique. I feel like it's really effective. So like use it. They don't use it in every house.
Mm-hmm.
It was just interesting to me that somebody like called that out, but they've used it in, Dead Waters. They used it in Hive. They used it, oh my God, like in every house in 27. So yeah. So we're walking around the circular path. You see the debris in the center. There are theater patrons kind of scattered everywhere and they're bloodied. Obviously this accident happened while they were there. Or somebody else had something to do with it.
Ooh.
one guy will slam like a chair on the ground. A girl jumps out from behind the curtains. Some guests are swinging on ropes and run at you as you go through the theater. Then right at the front of the theater, you see the man himself, the director. And he's kind of standing there observing the projection of his latest film on the screen. And the screen behind it, you can actually see, if you look very closely, it is the bathtub used in HHN-13, the commercials for the director. So they hid his actual props in there. So that's kind of cool. So that's the theater room. It doesn't seem like the director actually scared you in that room. More of like a, he's conceited. We know he's conceited. He's looking at his movie. Exiting the theater, you then find yourself walking through a dark hallway with chicken wires covering the walls. And you walk directly onto the set of the director's newest film. And you see an electric chair on your right, and the victim sitting in it reaches for you. The director then approaches you from the right, kind of peeking out behind the torture devices and his other props. Mm-hmm. And there are kind of actors and people from that open call at 6 p.m. and crew members bloodied and beaten up and just abused and tortured around, also kind of scaring you.
Okay.
And then as you're trying to escape that room, the director's trigger is don't be so camera shy. So from there, we exit the director's area into another dark hallway with more chicken wire. This leads us into an area with carnival photo booths on both sides. All of them are closed and the curtains are all different colors. I love this room already. Like, I loved it.
Sounds awesome.
It sounds so good. You guys know where we're going with this. So you hear carnival music and like a demented versions of Jack jump out and scare you from the various booths. And from reports, like almost every booth had somebody in it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know exactly how many booths were in here, but they were there. And reports say that the actors, were not afraid to get in your face. And some would even stop your path.
Oh, my God.
Stand in the walkway and like stop you for a minute, get in your face. And yeah. How fucking cool would that have been?
Yes.
Ah, dang it. Why was I 6? Oh, no, this time I was 10. Why was I 10? So after you leave the photo booth room, you then go into a bigger scene covered with carnival sets, prizes, huge dolls, jack-in-the-boxes, stuffed animals, and other like massive carnival props. And it's creating kind of a winding path in the room. And this was called the toy room. Different Jacks, again, jump out from around the different set pieces. One of the most popular ones that I read was a large, like, stuffed animal. And he would kind of toss it towards you. Kind of like Krampus with the snowman. If you remember that.
Okay.
Cece. Mm-hmm. Like, how it kind of, like, lunges. And that scares you. But then Jack jumps out and he's also there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Whew. There's also a Jack on a platform to your left. And the entire scene was described as a haunted carnival, kind of out of a cartoon. Very colorful, very bright, very in your face. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm so excited to see Jack face to face. I can't lie. I say it all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Woo, woo. Okay. So we got to leave Jack for now, but we'll be back. We leave his carnival and enter a dimly lit hospital area. I would say morgue because the description says morgue, but this is what I had heard was a hospital. I'm going to say morgue. So it's a morgue. There are clouded blue windows and like very dull fluorescent lights. Tables full of tools, all kind of torture devices, surgical instruments, just everything you can think of line the walls. And there are shelves that hold jars and like other gross kind of things.
Yeah.
Behind the shelves, though, we do see the caretaker kind of lurking and – he kind of draws you over, but then over on the left, there's a staircase that has one of his assistants who then slams a shovel into like a metal pole and gets you from the side.
Ooh.
I love it. I love that they don't always use the icons as like the jump scare.
Right.
I like that they're the distraction most of the time, excuse me.
Yeah, that's cool.
I wonder how that's going to be. I want to see icons captured.
I need to know.
Are they going to have any henchmen in there? I don't know, because they're in the lantern.
Ooh. We'll see what happens.
So much speculation. God. Announce it already. We see you guys tweeting. We see you, HHN. Okay, so we also see the caretaker's victims. One is missing an arm, and they reach for you, obviously. we go further inside of the morgue and we see like a disgusting bed with like disgusting, like decaying bodies reaching out for you. And the caretaker is also in there trying to keep you from leaving. And he actually shooting you with an air cannon or like bursts of air. I don't know if they're in his shears or again, this is like the cat paw. That doesn't sound very caretaker of him, but I don't know him personally.
True.
Maybe he likes that. But this had a lot of detail, so I'm assuming that that's correct.
Okay.
There's a lot of detail about this house. So it was – I'm sorry. It is said from there, after he shoots you with the air cannon, we then enter what is said to be the least detailed part of the house but the scariest. I feel like that was an important detail to include. So from here – we see human skulls and skins all over the walls. And in front of that wall, we see Eddie Schmidt. So we can assume that these are his victims. These are the skulls and the skins of his victims. And these are his trophies. So obviously, he's got to have his chainsaw. Come on. And he's revving it up right in front of the wall of victims. And you hear like a million other chainsaws in the background.
Oh, God.
Cece's worst nightmare.
Yes.
So from there, you turn left and exit the room, and it leads you into a very wide hallway. And the walls are made from wooden planks, but there's little holes in the planks and stuff like that. And from there, you see just a bunch of Eddie's henchmen, and all of them have chainsaws. They're all cut up and gross, kind of like Eddie. And they are reaching their hands, their chainsaws. They're trying to get you.
Oh, my gosh.
And you kind of feel like a caged animal almost at that point.
Yeah.
So they're reaching for you on both sides. You're trying to run out of there. And then you enter the last room. The last room is full of strobe lights.
Oh, God. It is
disorienting as all hell. It's full of fog, full of strobe lights. You can only imagine. And then on top of that, they have bloody bed sheets hanging from the ceiling.
Ugh.
So you have to push your way through the blood-soaked sheets and the fog and the strobe lights, figure it out. And as you're doing that, more of Eddie's henchmen are jumping out from behind the sheets in the fog.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And when you finally see the exit, as you're running out, there are two more henchmen to scare you as a stinger.
Oof.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That sounds just like constant scares in that house.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Like, you don't even have time to breathe. Like,
no, you don't. I'm sorry. Especially, like... After I feel like in that Eddie part especially.
Yeah.
The first half of the house I feel like is like very like, yeah, it's scary. And then it's like, holy shit. And then you're out.
It's like a finale.
So I have some fun facts for this one. This is the only house to ever be featured in Soundstage 44.
Oh.
Never used again, never used before. So it will go down in history, I feel like. There was only one other thing. It is an Easter egg. So this is the helmet from Infestation was featured in the director's portion of this house. And Infestation, if you don't know, because I could not 100% remember this. I remember it was a show. It is from HHN 13, which was the director's year. And that was actually the director's show that he did.
Ah, okay.
So there was a helmet involved and it was featured in the house in the director's portion. So fun little Easter egg. So that's our second house, and that is our house that features Jack.
Right.
So we've done a house that revolves around his backstory, but not him, features him, and now we're going to talk about Jack's first icon house. Official, and you could argue, hey, he was just in an icon's house, but this is the first time that Jack the Clown got a house that revolved 100% around Jack and his story, and he was in charge.
Okay.
So... this is from the year 2006, so you missed it by 1 year.
Oh,
it's easy.
Yeah, I did.
I missed it by 11, but it's fine. What's that?
Oh, my gosh.
11 years. How old was I? I was 12. I wasn't even allowed, quote unquote, to go to the event according to their rules. No. So this was 2006, and this is Psychoscarapy Maximum Madness. Now, this was located in Soundstage 22, which I'm 99% sure is still used to this day. Wasn't Brides in Soundstage 22, or was that 23? That sounds right.
I think so.
whatever. The description for this one is, step inside Shady Brook Hospital, where Jack is up to his deadly tricks. Shady Brook Hospital has been plagued with rioting inmates off and on for years. These small incidents of chaos have always been resolved quickly and contained with minimal casualty. However, Shady Brook's newest resident is about to change all that. If you think you know insane, you don't know Jack. Step inside an asylum where the sideshow is death and the big top has padded walls. Boom. Ooh. Right? I love these descriptions. I mean, so I don't want to say every house description is amazing all the time, but like sometimes they kill it and sometimes you're like, oh, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the first house. Yeah, the first house, I was like, that's it. But then they went back and they did that whole fucking treatment for the announcement, art and design or whatever. And suddenly the Fear House sounds exciting.
Right. Exactly.
So that's our description for the house story and backstory. I will say, guys, this is the house I actually have the least information on.
Oh.
Which is kind of interesting, seeing as it's literally the most recent out of the three we're covering.
Yeah.
I looked everywhere. I listened to a couple of podcasts that I could find that had covered this or talked about it. There's not a lot. I don't know if it's just not documented. There's a lot of like cat or like scare actor cast photos and behind the scenes stuff, but it's nothing like, hey, this is like room to room like we had on the last house.
Right.
So I'm going to give you guys what we have and we're going to talk about it a little bit. So this house was a sequel to the super popular maze Psychoscarapy from 13. So in 2006, and I think we covered this in the Jack episode, 2006, they decided every single house was either going to be a prequel or a sequel to all the originals before. Mm-hmm. So this was a sequel to Psychoscarapy from 13. So just like the other Psychoscarapy houses from before and then in the future as well, because we do see this property come up a couple more times, this story revolves around the inmates revolting against the asylum and taking over. Only this time, it's not just kind of the inmates controlling themselves. Jack is in charge. So, yeah. I mean, and this is when we talked about Jack last time. This is when he finds out Oddfellow is still performing and working.
Yeah.
While he's in here, this is when, you know, he finds out that he leaves and he goes on and wreaks havoc in the world even more. And then we get 25 and well, we get 17. I'm sorry. And then we get, you know, he comes back, what, 25? Come back in 20, is it 24? No. 24 had the 21? Scares. 21. We're going to get to those. We haven't gotten to all that yet. There are a lot of Jack houses. That's why we only started with three. We were only going to do two originally. And it was, we were going to do Fear House and then Psychoscarapy. And then I found all the information on Horror Night Nightmares. And I was like, or Horror Nights Nightmares. God, that's hard. So we had to do it. Here we are. So. Yeah. I'm almost done. I know I've been talking a lot. Okay. that's all the backstory we have. He's in Shady Brook and he's in charge. We do know that just his presence alone kind of caused the inmates to go crazy and revolt. He wasn't even in general population. He was down in solitary. So just Jack being there caused an uproar. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So. You would enter the queue to the left of the Boneyard, and the Boneyard back then, well, what it is now is the Music Plaza and the stage right in the front by Rip Ride Rocket, in between Rocket and Fallon, or Minions and Fallon. And that had, like, old movie props, cars, really cool back in the day. Like, I remember visiting when I was very, very little and seeing it. You would enter through there, and then once you were inside the soundstage, you would see what I feel like is arguably one of the most iconic facades in HHN history. We've seen every time Shady Brook pretty much appears, we see this facade and you kind of know what it looks like if you're a fan, I feel like. We'll post a picture because there's really good pictures of the facade from this year. We see the entrance to Shady Brook and there are two park benches in front of them. The entrance has like a chain gate because, you know, it's a hospital. For what is it? It's Shady Brook Rest Home and Sanitarium. It's also Shady Brook for the Criminally Insane is the other title. So don't forget that. So once you enter the rest home, you go into the waiting room and you see the flashing red lights spinning, warning you of a breakout. And you have a receptionist, a nurse, whatever you want to call her, and she's sitting at the desk. She actually had a scare actor trigger that was like a really high-pitched buzzer. And I read some cool things online. Some people were like looking for it halfway through the run and couldn't find it. And I guess what happened is because it was so loud and so annoying, the actresses started to cover it after a certain point in the run because they would like encourage guests to press it and like they would press it. And the actors in the first two rooms of the house after her complained because it was so loud.
Oh, wow.
So she just covered it and like would only hit it every so often. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that just shows like things change all the time. I don't know if that was like given direction, but I probably would hate listening to a high-pitched buzzer all day too.
Yeah.
So after there, you enter into the halls of Shady Brook, and they're also lit up by those spinning red warning lights. And you see completely bloodied, tortured nurses and other, you know, employees with the crazed inmates with different versions of Jack's makeup kind of painted on them. And who has like a big like stitches on the side of their head, or who has, you know, only the lipstick on or the mouth and not the eyes in their various kind of outfits that they wear in the hospital. Some of them have straight jackets on. Some of them just have gowns on. And the gowns literally have like the primary color pom-poms that they like made out of construction paper.
Yes.
Because they pretty much idolized Jack is what this house was. His presence had such a toll on them that he was literally an idol, and they were going to do whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. So from there, we keep moving and we go into a padded room with strobe lights and knotted up sheets hanging from the ceiling. And what's really cool about this room is, so everything's white in the padded room. They had actors camouflaged again in all white costumes, kind of in between the sheets and up on the wall. And with the strobe light, you wouldn't see them until they were literally in your face.
Wow.
Very scary.
Yeah.
I would freak out. And I have like depth perception issues. So fucking strobe lights mess with me.
Yeah. It's scary.
Mm-hmm. Like dead exposure was hard for me to get through. Really hard. So throughout the house, you'd see various asylum employees being tortured by inmates or by Jack. Like one of the most famous rooms I read about was the rec room, actually. And you had inmates sitting watching TV kind of screaming at you. You had the mannequins and who was the real actor and all of that. But what was interesting is they were actually watching Woody Woodpecker cartoons, which I read became like an Easter egg in HHN. And they kind of do it a lot when there's a TV in an original house.
Oh.
I guess they'll just play. I've never noticed it, but I guess they'll just play Woody Woodpecker cartoons.
That's funny.
Because like, what are they going to play? Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to be different.
Yep.
So that's the rec room. There were also like Mousetrap and what was the other game? It was like Connect Four or something was in that room. From there, we move into... Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the most iconic room. I forgot the most iconic room. The bathroom scene in this house.
Huh.
So Shady Brook... houses are actually notorious for having bathroom scenes. From what I've read, everyone that has appeared has had a bathroom scene. And not just when Shady Brook like appears in a house like 25 years. I mean, like, well, I don't think it was at that one, but you know what I mean. But when like Shady Brook is its own house or it somehow has to do with Shady Brook, there is a bathroom scene and it will have the smell pumped into it.
Gross.
And the smell is feces. And
oh god,
this room had feces smeared all over it. Words, hearts.
Wow.
On the toilet, on the walls, on the sinks, on the mirrors. where has our life gone today? I just need to stop for a second. I'm keeping this in the episode, but like, we went from cat paws to feces. I'm not naming that. That's not the episode title. I refuse.
Oh my God.
Baby powder and dung was
exactly
the furthest I will go. Oh my God. I don't know what I'm going to call this episode at this point.
I don't know.
Whew. Okay.
You don't know jack shit, I guess.
Oh my God. I don't want to do this podcast anymore. I'm fucking done. No.
Oh my God.
No, it's only fair. I say really fucking bad jokes, so you get to have a couple too. No, that was good. I like that. But I already named the Jack one.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Damn it. Damn it. Whatever. Okay. So the finale room of this house was Jack, and there were other inmates around him, and they were applying Jack's makeup to their face, but it wasn't Jack's actual makeup. It was his design, but they were using whatever they could find. So okay. I have nothing to go off of that. Use your imagination. I really hope it's not from the bathroom scene.
Oh, God.
I'm hoping it's like blood. I know that that doesn't sound like an improvement, but for me, that's an improvement.
Oh my god.
I don't know what they would use.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, moving on. That was the finale scene. And that's it for oh my god. That is it for Psychotherapy Maximum Madness. I'm sorry, I had to stop there for a second and just realize what just happened. So those are the three Jack houses, or the first three houses that Jack the Clown was either a part of or featured or story. I've already said it 10 times. You know what we're saying. So yeah. That is our second, I guess, installment in part of our Icon History series and our House History series. So,
wow.
Three houses in one episode. That was a lot. I'm sorry I talked so much.
No, it's awesome. I it was cool because I was kind of trying to follow along with you and look at some of the pictures as you were describing it.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw there was one wall that said yum and shit. And I was like, what the? Number?
It said yup or yum.
Ew.
It says yum. Yup. Yeah,
it does.
It totally does. I'm like,
what the fuck?
Oh. Cat paws. Oh. And feces.
A story of Jack in three parts. No, just kidding.
Oh.
No. Oh my god.
All jacked up on cat paws.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh my god, Jack's all jacked mania. Up
on cat paws and feces.
No. Oh my god, all jacked up, oh my god, I got nothing. All jacked up cat
just
paws.
All, just Jack's, all jacked up.
Jack's cat paws maniacs.
Oh my god. All right. Wait, what if they put the cat paws on while they did, never mind.
While they spelled out yum?
Yes.
Oh my god. We've lost every listener now.
Oh my god.
If you've made it this far, just tweet at us. Watermelon. If you got this far, tweet at the Scream Queens the word watermelon. Just like confuse the fuck out of people. Just tweet us watermelon. I'm not kidding. Just if you made it this far, you're the real one.
Scream Queens 85 and then write the word watermelon or put
you don't
the
have
emoji.
To say. Yeah, you don't have that's even better. Put the emoji. You don't have to say shit to me. I wanna just retweet you if you got this far. And I'll retweet you from my account. So you know I saw it. Because I never see shit.
Oh my god. I'll retweet please it tweet from the Scream Queens.
Like literally I'm trying to think. There's probably like four people I know that would do it.
Oh yeah. There's at least four.
There's at least four. Maybe five. I bet you Wade is literally tweeting watermelon right now.
Right now.
Yeah. You're not allowed to share that until tomorrow. Oh. Oh my god. So that is the first three house histories of Jack the Clown.
Woo!
We did it. Woo! I'm gonna applaud Cece for listening to me talk for that long.
Hey, it's interesting. So
I'm glad. I sometimes feel like I ramble, but everyone tells me that they love learning. Like, because sometimes I say things they don't even know.
Yeah.
I'm crazy and I research as much as I humanly can.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I am so excited. And in 2 weeks, we're going to continue our Icon History.
Woo.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. 2 weeks?
Wade just texted me and said, all jacked up on poop and paws.
Oh my god.
I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. Okay, on to the next segment in our show because, yeah, hell no.
Woo, okay. So we post every week now a trivia question. And last week's question was, what 2006 horror film about an alien plague was directed by Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn? I had about 8 responses or so. And we went ahead and picked a random person to shout out on the show. Cast Me to Hell, your podcast. We're shouting you guys out. You guys are the people we're going to talk about this week. And thank you so much for quote tweeting the answer and telling everyone to check us out on your quote tweet. That was awesome.
Thank you, guys.
So go check them out as well. Cast Me to Hell is the podcast name. I love I love that too.
I think it's awesome. That movie. I feel like, I mean, Drag Me. I feel like Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, Drag Me to Hell. Yeah.
It's such, we need to cover it eventually.
Oh gosh, I've heard it's not great, but I've heard it's not okay.
It's very right. I feel like it has a cult following, I guess you could say.
Okay
So that we vibe with that. We like
all right that works.
Yeah, we could watch it, we'll see. I think it's a short watch too. I don't think it's very long, but yeah, sure.
All right. Ooh. So that is last week's. For the rest of you who answered, thank you so much for answering that with us, and we love having this trivia. We might add some HHN trivia in there in the future too, I think, to just get more engagement on both sides. And Jess, are you ready for this week's question?
Of course I'm ready, Cece. Are you guys ready for this week's question? I didn't know this one. Cece did. So, but Cece knows a lot more than I do. So our question this week, and as always, remember, all you have to do is quote tweet the tweet that we will post, or Cece will post alongside the episode a little bit after the episode lives, and all you have to do is quote tweet your response and hit tweet, and we will pick randomly between those people.
Yep.
So this week's question is, what actress plays the main character Susie Banyan in the 2018 Suspiria remake?
All right,
so that is our trivia question.
Please don't Google it.
Please.
I mean, we can't tell you what to do, but, you know.
Yeah.
Try to use your brains.
Come on. Everyone has an equal chance.
Exactly.
So, I believe that's all I got besides housekeeping.
All right. Well, it's been quite a doozy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm high off feces fumes over here. No, I'm just kidding.
No. No, I'm leaving.
Between that and the strobe lights, I'm like, no.
Out. Getting out of here. I don't like this place anymore.
Oh my god. So, maniacs.
Maniacs! I wanted to say assemble. I don't know why.
It's like Avengers.
Have I been dating Wade too long? I feel the nerd has rubbed off on me.
It's like you combined your love with his love and...
I'm waiting for him to like run over here and be like, yes. Okay, what were you saying? All I'm right. sorry.
I was saying, so
he came are,
oh my god, of course he did. So we are part of the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Check out those guys. We have a lot of other shows that we're that are part of the network that we love and support. We also are most recognized on Twitter because that's the best place to reach us, at ScreamQueens85, as I mentioned earlier with the watermelon segment that we had.
Tweet us watermelon.
Yes, do it if you've listened this long. We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram, the Scream Queens Podcast. Yep. You can find us at CCTron or Beetle Jess on Twitter. Also, if you guys ever need any information or you know, that we might be able to share with you or anything you want to share with us to cover on the show.
If you have questions about HN, podcasting, anything, we are here. We are available. I might not read it for about 10 years, but I will respond when I read it.
Yep, exactly. And we just were recently featured on an episode of the Monster Cast.
Yes.
So if you guys want to check that out, we talked to HHN 30 Speculations again. And our list for our hype list. So that was fun.
I will check them out. Link it in the show notes. It's a YouTube video podcast, actually. Not video, but it is on YouTube with audio.
Yep.
So I will link that below. Did we miss anything for ours?
I think that's it.
Do you want to plug anything you got going on the side? Because I got something fun I can plug and announce finally.
Oh, you know what? I could too, really.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
All right. So you guys listen to us here enough. Yes. You're going to listen to us more.
If you want to. That sounded so demanding. No. You better fucking listen to us. You better. You know what? I'm going to get Hunter. He's tall. I'm going to get Hunter to intimidate. No. Hunter's going to text me and be like, oh, why are you like this?
Yeah.
Okay. No, what you say? No.
But if you want to listen to us ramble more, there's a better way to say it. I have a side project. I've already mentioned it on my personal Twitter. It's going to be called See You at the Movies, C-E as in C-C. It's going to be a project that I get a guest or two on every week, and we talk about movies. I wanted to talk about movies overall and film overall outside of just the horror aspect. So that's my little side project that I've got going. And the first episode should be live on April 1st, if all goes well. So I'm that's excited. Just in a couple days.
I am so excited to listen to it.
Yay!
So I also have a side project that I also just announced on Twitter because we just got the logo back and everything. So I also have a side podcast that I am starting with my sister and my best friend, Daniel. So my two best friends besides Cece. We have been best friends for almost 12 years. Obviously, I've known my sister longer, but we wanted to start a podcast and it has nothing to do with horror or HHN. So what it is it's called Squad on the Rocks. We lovingly call ourselves the Skank Squad. We have for maybe 10 years. I know that's a little weird to some people, but that's how the three of us have always been. We're a trio. We never broken up, never wavered. And they or Ashley's been on the Scream Queens before, so she wanted to get into podcasting. So did Daniel. What we do is every week, or it's going to be every other week, we each bring in a new to us alcohol, whether it's a, you know, beer from a local brewery, a liquor, a new cocktail that we discovered, something. We're going to bring that in. We're each going to talk about what we brought in and then give it a ranking 1 through 5 at the end of the episode. And while we enjoy our cocktails or our beers, we're going to pick a random topic we won't know until we hit record. So the first episode we did first impressions. So just very topical, kind of just three friends kind of bullshitting around, being funny, just our personalities. So if you guys are interested in that, our first episode has not dropped yet. But it should be dropping, I would say, in the next week or two. So before the middle of April. If you want to follow us, we have a Twitter right now. It's @squad_rocks, spelled normal. You'll see like a kind of a bar sign logo glowing neon. If you guys are interested in that, please follow us. Please check us out. Obviously, you're not required to. If you only want to listen to the Scream Queens, only listen to the Scream Queens. We're okay with that.
Yeah. We wanted to branch out and do something else because, you know, as much this is our baby. This is our number one.
Oh yeah.
We just wanted
main priority.
Exactly. We wanted to do some extra stuff on the side just because we're both very creative people and the pandemic has kind of halted that a little bit. So this is our way of, you know, being creative and
we already have the equipment.
exactly. So why not? Just talk about this with our friends anyway. So,
and for like me, totally different outside of the Scream Queens, which I love the Scream Queens. I talk about HHN and horror all day, every day. So this is just nice to do something a little different. And you guys get to see my personality if you're interested a little more outside of the horror genre, I guess. And I also have another one that is coming soon, but that one literally just started planning. But if you guys like women's wrestling, maybe just like watch my Twitter in the near future. That one might come out before Squad on the Rocks, I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, and Cece also has a Twitch channel. Don't forget about that. Homegirl, killing it. Fucking killing it. She's got what do you got? Hydrate buttons now. You got Teddy appearances, girl. You got all that shit. I was creeping over Eugene's shoulder watching your stream. It's like, ooh, what's go bestie. Yes.
I know. I think I'm at like 99 followers, I think.
Girl.
I have to check to see.
Hell yes. Can I get a hell yeah, Jack?
Hell yeah.
So yeah, we'll stop rambling, but if you guys are interested, those are our side projects. We're just going to start plugging them now because they're official and they're out there. So
it's exciting.
But as always, thank you guys for listening to the Scream Queens. We love you guys so much. You know that.
Yes. Thank you for being here with us every week to talk randomness and horror.
Yeah. And is next week random and horror? I don't even remember.
Next week is, you better put your knowledge to the test.
Is that next week?
Wait, is that next week?
No. No, I have to, I get to cross something off the horror movies I haven't seen next week.
Yes, that's what next week is. Yep. The
iconic ones. And it also, I feel like it might pertain to HHN this year. It might be an IP at the event.
Yeah, so just keep an eye on the Twitter.
Yeah, on the Twitter.
Yep, on the Twitter.
On the Twitter. All right, let's get out of here. These people are over us.
All right, guys. Don't forget to tweet us watermelon. Don't forget to answer the trivia question. And stay spooky.
Yes.
And
don't forget to scream, queens.
Bye. Bye.